Welcome to the Inspired Word of God. My name is Marcia. Lord, as we move forward in your word, I ask that you just lead, guide, and direct. Open hearts and minds to hear your word, that your purpose will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We all have something deep within our heart at one time or another that has taken up residence and refuses to move. Searching deep in my heart, I could see the fear that resided there. Reading scripture in Isaiah, where God says, "Fear not, because I am with you," that told me fear that's inside of me has to go. To be dismayed is to be disappointed, disheartened, disillusioned, or alarmed. God is all power, divine, and in control of everything. Anything that happens, he can intervene if he chooses to. God tells us in this scripture that he will help us and uphold us. We live in a broken world in which the dark forces roam. This is their domain. It says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So God has already told us in scripture that we're going to have trials and tribulations down here. Many people have wondered, why would God allow trials and tribulations? Well, we're in a broken world. The dark forces roam this world. So there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulations. God can give us peace in spite of all of it. In the verse of 41:10 of Isaiah, he tells us he will strengthen us and he will help us. And that remains true. If we trust him and we give it to him, he will give us that strength from within our heart, deep in our spirit, and we will get through whatever trial or tribulation that is upon us. Trusting him and giving it to him, we know that he will bring us out of it, and we will have a stronger character because of it. We are aware of all the things that are going on in this world. If it was peaceful and full of joy down here, there would be no troubles or tribulations. But it is not that case. In Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" When the scripture says this, that's a great indication that the things of this world are not in alignment with God. Because what would be the use in gaining the whole world and everything that's in it, all of those things you've ever wanted, if you still lose your soul and you fall into hell? Because all of those shiny things that you want of this world, all of those wealthy things, all of those things that says do whatever you want of this world, pulls you out of alignment with God and his word. It says in John 7:7, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil." And when you look in scripture, that's in red letters. Jesus is speaking at that point. And he says that the world hates him because he testifies of the work thereof are evil. When you think about everything that's going on in the world today, there's a lot of evilness. I mean, it's all around us. No matter how tantalizing things are in this world, it doesn't mean that they are good for you. As stated in John 7:7, when Jesus says that the works of this world are evil. When I speak about those shiny objects, those things of the world that could lead us down the wrong path, it's not that you can't have good things, nice things in life. God blesses us with things. So it's not that you can't have a lot of those things I am speaking of. But where is your heart in having them? Many people are focused on the things of this world, and that becomes their God. They worship them. They idolize them, and that becomes their world. So it's not that you can't have a new house or a new car or be blessed with that awesome job that pays great money. You can have those things, and they can be a blessing to you. But you have to check your perspective. Do you see them as blessings from God because you're serving Him? Or did you just go out and get them because you could, and they become your focal point? They actually become your God. So it's about perspective. It's not that you can't have those things that I'm speaking of. It's about who is your God, and do you see them as a blessing from God? Here is a good illustration for you. In Matthew 19:16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What yet I lack? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That young man who was questioning Jesus, and he got the answer that Jesus gave him, Go give away your possessions to the poor, so you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And it says that that rich man walked away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He was a rich man, and he did not want to give away his possessions to the poor. His heart was with his possessions. So they were his idol. God says that there shall be no other gods before me in Exodus 23. And in Leviticus 19:4, it says, Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. When Jesus was telling the disciples it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven, he was referring to a narrow passage. that for a camel to actually go through that pretty much was difficult, but they had to unload all the possessions on that camel to get it through that small space. And his illustration is, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, that small passageway known as a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. How many rich people will go sell all of their possessions and give them to the poor so that they will have treasure in heaven? And this man asked, what do I need to do to gain eternal life? And Jesus told him what he needed to do to gain eternal life, and he couldn't do it. And you might be saying to yourself, well, Jesus told him to get rid of all of his possessions. Yes, he did. But keep in mind, God knows our heart. Jesus knew his heart. He knew where his heart was with, and it was with his possessions. He doesn't tell everybody to do that because he knows your heart. We don't know if God would tell us to get rid of something or not. If he did tell you that, you would be blessed many times over because you have treasures in heaven. And that concept is so hard for so many people to grasp. There are times when we give things away and we are blessed many times over right here on earth. But when we talk about treasures in heaven, that becomes a stumbling block for many people. And they can't grasp it. They can't go beyond this physical point where we are here on earth to think about the eternal. And we will have eternal life. Everybody has eternal life. But where will you spend it? That's the question. Will you spend eternity in hell, or will you spend eternity in heaven? Because the soul lives on forever. So you will live forever in torment in hell, or you will live forever in peace in paradise, heaven. Going back to the key verse of Isaiah 41:10, he tells us that he will strengthen, he will help us, and he will uphold us. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we see that a lot on social media. We hear people quote that a lot. But do you truly grab a hold of it? Do you truly understand that you can do anything and all things through Christ because he gives you the strength? And when he gives you the strength to do it, you can stand boldly and you can make it happen. You don't have to fear. You don't have to doubt. And you don't have to worry about whether or not you're equipped to do it. He will strengthen you to do whatever it is you need to do, as long as you trust him and believe that he will. As I close, I read again Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, when you tell us to fear not because you are with us, you literally mean that you are there with us as we face trials and tribulations. As we navigate through each situation, you are standing with us. When we are broken in spirit, fearful and in trouble, or caught off guard, or call out to help, your hands take hold of the situation, and your handiwork is seen in the outcome. You tell us that you will uphold us and help us, and as you manifest your power, we are left awestruck. as you literally put things in alignment and handle that problem. Your right hand of righteousness is all we need. I pray that we always continue to seek it. In Jesus' name, amen.